Well, it is indeed a pleasure to be with you. You have a chance to see me, and I have a chance to see you. It's always nice to meet the people of God, and especially those who have an exercise about getting the gospel of the grace of God out. We certainly are living in the last days. What we are going to do must be done quickly. Not only are we to go and tell, but we are to go quickly and tell. Our business is to let the Lord Jesus Christ be known, and God will look after the rest. Now, will you turn with me this afternoon to the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5, and we will begin to read at verse 15. Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 15. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of His precious word. What is on my heart this afternoon is to speak a little on the subject of being filled with the Spirit. Now, I realize that this is a truth that has been distorted and twisted by many in the world today. And there are those who talk about being filled with the Spirit, and they have a certain experience, and they feel that if you haven't had the experience that they have had, and the particular manifestations that they believe they should have, then you are not living a spiritual life. And because of the emphasis that some groups have put upon the filling of the Spirit, and they have twisted it away from what the Word of God teaches, I'm afraid that many of us who are the people of God, we have steered away from the truth, and we have not put the emphasis we should have on this blessed fact that God expects you and I to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever wondered why some Christians are more godly than others? We look at a certain brother and we say, well, that brother is a godly brother and he manifests the person of Christ in his life, and it's true about his sister, but here's another brother and he doesn't do this. This is in the measure that we allow our lives to be adjusted to the Holy Spirit of God. The Word of God tells us here in Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians, you'll notice that the epistle is divided up into two sections. The first three chapters deal with doctrine, and the last three chapters are practical. This is always God's way. We have the doctrine of a thing laid out in the Word of God, and then, based on that doctrine, God expects practice in the life of the child of God. And it's interesting to note that this admonition, be filled with the Spirit, is in the practical section of the Ephesian epistle. It doesn't have to do with our standing, it has to do with our state. There are truths relative to the Spirit which are connected with the standing of the child of God. We were born of the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt with the Spirit of God. We are sealed with the Spirit of God. We have been baptized with the Spirit of God. These are facts which are unalterable and unchangeable. They have to do with our standing in Christ. But here is the truth, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, which has to do with our condition, with our state before the Lord. Now you'll notice that in this practical section of the Ephesian epistle, there are four exhortations which begin with the little word be. We read in verse 23 of chapter 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In verse 32 of the same chapter, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. In verse 1 of chapter 5, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And finally, in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. You'll notice that the first one deals with the mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The second one deals with the heart. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. The third deals with the feet, with the walk. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And finally, we have this all-comprehensive exhortation, be filled with the Spirit. This is what God expects in the life of every one of His children. God expects that you and I be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, it is a possibility for the child of God to be filled with the Spirit. We may think about the truth of the filling of the Spirit, and perhaps look at it and say, well, that's for a certain spiritual aristocracy among the people of God. We say, well, the missionary needs to be filled with the Spirit, of course. And the evangelist, he must be filled with the Spirit. And the teacher who ministers the Word of God, he too must be filled with the Spirit. And we would expect that the elders of the assembly be filled with the Spirit, but you mean to tell me that every child of God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, to whom was this epistle written but to you and me? Be filled with the Spirit. When we read through the book of the Acts, we find that this truth of being filled with the Holy Spirit occurs again and again. You read about Peter that when he spoke to the Sanhedrin in chapter 4 that he was filled with the Spirit. Because he was filled with the Spirit, he had power. You read about the deacons that were chosen, that they were to be men, they were to be full of faith. Stephen was one of these. He was a man full of faith and of the Spirit. You read about Barnabas that he was a good man, and he was full of the Spirit. You read about Paul that he was full of the Spirit. You read about the disciples in chapter 13, that they were full of the Spirit, they were filled with the Spirit, and they had joy. And it's a remarkable thing, as you read through the book of the Acts, you'll find that those who were filled with the Spirit, they had power. Those who were filled with the Spirit, they had faith. Those who were filled with the Spirit, they were men of spiritual vision. Those who were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had joy. They had character. Barnabas, a good man, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. One is only to read through the book of the Acts to be conscious of this, that this book demonstrates the fact that the filling of the Holy Spirit and a child of God full of the Holy Spirit is the normal Christian experience in the book of the Acts. Everything less than that is below God's standard, below what God intends. Now I wonder what you and I know about the filling of the Spirit. Why are we to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, just because of what we have already spoken of, it's normal Christian experience. We read of men of God. We read of men like J. Hudson Taylor. We say, well, that brother was filled with the Holy Spirit. We read of C.T. Studd and we say, that man was filled with the Holy Spirit. We read of missionaries who have given their lives for the cause of Christ. We say that brother was filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's a normal experience for the child of God. This is to be your experience and mine. You and I are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Another reason is that it's the happiest condition for the child of God. God never tells us to do anything that's not for our own blessing and benefit. And the happiest condition for a child of God is when that believer is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of joy, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of faith, This is what God expects for you and me. And then, it's the most fruitful condition God will. You and I will bring glory to God. We will bring honor to Him only in the measure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, let us be clear about this. God has saved us at the cost of His Son. The price of our redemption was the precious blood of Christ. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. He has purchased us for Himself. And He tells us, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which dwells in you. You and I are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the purpose and mind of God that the Spirit of God who indwells us be allowed to fill us completely. And in the measure that you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, we will bring glory to God. And in the measure that you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the person of the Lord Jesus will be manifested in our lives, but only in that measure. Another reason why we are to be filled with the Spirit is because it is only as we are filled with the Spirit that we will be a blessing to those around us. In the measure that you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, we will be a blessing to our fellow believers. In the measure that you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, we will be a blessing to the unsaved with whom we come in contact. Do we wonder at times why we don't see more blessings? We have gospel campaigns. The Word of God is preached, faithfully preached, and yet we don't see the blessing that we should. We can't blame God, can we? We can't blame the gospel of God because it hasn't changed. We can't blame the Holy Spirit of God because He is in the world to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And we can't blame the unsaved. The blame lies with you and with me. We haven't adjusted our lives to the Spirit of God. We haven't allowed the Spirit of God to fill us, that we might be a blessing to those with whom we come in contact. Now, when we take up the subject of the filling of the Holy Spirit, there are three major errors that we find men and women fall into. First of all, is the error of believing that the filling of the Spirit is an answer to prayer. I have had a magazine come to my home, perhaps some other brethren have too, since I didn't have to pay anything for it. I don't know where they got my name from. You know, you get on all sorts of mailing lists. But this magazine, there are a lot of pictures in it, and there are pictures of men standing, and they're praying, and they've got their hands up in the air. I don't know whether this, they're lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I don't know whether that's the scripture they have for lifting up their hands or not, but they're praying. And what are they praying for? They're praying for the filling of the Spirit. Is it scriptural to pray for the filling of the Spirit? You say, wouldn't that be a good thing to pray for? To be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Brother, you find a verse in the Bible that tells us we're to pray for the filling of the Spirit. It's not there. God says to you and me, be filled with the Spirit. And there's no point in a child of God getting down and praying, oh God, fill me with the Spirit, when we don't fulfill the conditions. And we're not told to pray for the filling of the Spirit. A second error that some fall into is they believe that they must wait for the coming of the Spirit to fill them as the disciples waited on the day of Pentecost. We need a second Pentecost? What were the disciples waiting for on the day of Pentecost? Were they waiting for the filling of the Spirit? No, they weren't. They were waiting for the advent of the Spirit of God into the world. The Spirit of God was coming, as the Lord Jesus had promised, to make of one body all believers. He was coming. Their filling was incidental to this. Now it's futile for a child of God to wait and wait and wait. You see, that's what they did in the upper room. That's what they did when they were gathered together, the 120. They were waiting for the Spirit of God to fill them. We've got to do the same. No. They weren't waiting for the Spirit of God to fill them. They were waiting for the Spirit of God to come into the world as the Lord Jesus Christ had promised on the day of Pentecost. Now the Spirit of God has come. We don't have to wait. And we don't have to look for an experience that duplicates the experience of the beginning of the book of the Acts. And then there's a third error. And that is to believe that the filling of the Spirit depends upon some crisis experience in the life of the child of God. There are some who would teach, well, you're to be filled with the Spirit. Now the only way you can be filled with the Spirit is to claim it by faith. In other words, believe it so, whether it is so or not. They say you have a certain experience, a certain crisis experience, and at that moment you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and it puts you on a little different level than all other believers. Again, we would search in vain for a teaching such as that in the Word of God. I speak along these lines because I know that young people today, and I went through this experience myself, I believe that there is a searching on the part of young men and of young women for more holiness, for more power in Christian living, for more devotedness. They are not satisfied with the kind of a life they're living. And they don't perhaps get the help they should in our assembly writings and in the ministry in our assemblies. And so they turn to others. And someone tells them, well, now you pray and you'll be filled with the Spirit. And they try it and it doesn't work. They say, you tarry. Come to a tarry meeting. And again they find it doesn't work. And they may try having an experience in their life and claiming it by faith, and they find out that it doesn't work. And they say, well, there's nothing to it. I've tried it all. I've prayed and I've waited and I've claimed and it doesn't work. And so they say, well, I guess this business of being filled with the Spirit, well, it must be all right. I read about people and they were filled with the Spirit and I read about it in the Bible, but it just doesn't seem to be for me. And they become discouraged. And they say, well, I must resign myself to just going on in the same humdrum way of Christian experience. That's not the purpose of God. We have to beware, young people, that you don't fall into error concerning the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. This is one of the most important truths for the child of God in this day and age in which we live. And because it is important, Satan has arranged that there be all sorts of false doctrine and error concerning it. Many of God's people have been deceived and have turned aside, and I have known them who once fellowshiped with the people of God, but exercised about more holiness and more devotedness to the Lord, began to read certain literature, and they were led into error concerning the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God, and eventually they were outside the assemblies of God's people. You see, human reasoning goes like this. If only I was filled with the Spirit, then there would be power in my life for God. Did you ever feel like that? That's the way I used to feel. I read about the filling of the Spirit and I thought, well now, if I could only get it, whatever it is, however it works, if I could only be filled with the Spirit, then I could do great exploits for God. Have you ever felt like that? I'm sure you have. That's putting the cart before the horse. That's turning it around. The filling of the Spirit is the result of a godly life. It's not the cause of a godly life. Well, I think perhaps this is the major error. They say, well, now I'd like to have this experience and get filled with the Spirit, and from then on, it will be clear sailing. My brother, my sister, that's not the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is the product. It's the consequence. It's the effect of a godly life. It's not the cause of a godly life. And all the error around, they say, well, now you have this experience, or you get filled with the Spirit, and then everything will be plain sailing. It doesn't work out like that. I read one writer on the filling of the Spirit, and I've read a good number of books along this line. And this one writer, he had 18 requirements. 18 of them before you could be filled with the Spirit. It was almost like a checklist. That you had to check them off and go down the whole 18. And if you had 17 of them and not 18, well, you couldn't get filled with the Spirit of God. Well, that would be a great discouragement if there were 18 requirements for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to suggest to you this afternoon that there are three. There are three that the child of God must fulfill. There are three conditions for the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see, the filling of the Spirit is a matter of the believer adjusting his life so that the Spirit of God who indwells him might fill him. If you bought a house, here's a house, it's a 7-room house. You buy it, you purchase it, it belongs to you. But the man that you buy it from, he says, now, there's one house, one room in that house, and I've got a padlock on that door. Now, you're not to go in that room. Don't you touch that room. Well, you say, this is my house. I'm buying the whole house. Well, he said, that's right. You own the whole house, but don't you go in that room. That room belongs to me. Well, what possibility? You say, well, I'm not going to buy a house on that ground. You and I have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. And yet we perhaps have a room that we have shut off. And it's not the Lord's. Take a glass of water. Now, you take a glass of water and you put a pebble in that glass. Is that glass filled with water? Oh, you say it's right up to the brim. But it's not filled with water. And it won't be filled with water until you take that pebble out. There are things in the life of the child of God that keep the Holy Spirit of God from filling us. The Spirit of God will fill every believer if there's nothing there to hinder him from doing it. That's the secret. The first condition of the filling of the Spirit, we have in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What grieves the Holy Spirit of God? My brother, my sister, there's one thing that grieves the Spirit of God, and that is sin. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. Because He is holy, He is grieved with everything that is unholy. And as long as a child of God has unconfessed sin in his heart, in his life, upon his conscience, that unconfessed sin will prevent the Spirit of God from filling that believer. And so the very first condition is this, that you and I confess our sin, that there be nothing between our souls and God, that there be nothing allowed which would grieve the Spirit of God and prevent Him from filling us. The second condition, we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, quench not the Spirit. Now the Spirit of God leads and guides the believer in his pilgrim journey. And the Spirit of God does this in a different way with each Christian. The Lord has a path for your life, and He has a path for my life. The Spirit of God is the one who guides and directs the believer. Have you ever had the impulse to go to a certain man and give him a gospel tract? You've held back from doing it, and immediately there's been a consciousness of a quenching. Perhaps you didn't understand what it was, but you felt in your spirit that there was an unhappiness. The Spirit of God was leading you. The Spirit of God was guiding you to speak to that brother, to speak to that woman, to this man. And you've held back, and immediately there's a consciousness of quenching the Spirit of God. Now the Spirit of God leads the child of God. He leads through the Word. The psalmist said that thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He leads by circumstances. We must watch the circumstances into which we are brought. He leads by the wise counsel of fellow believers. Nehemiah said of the people of Israel, thou gavest them thy good spirit to guide them. The Holy Spirit of God has been given to guide you and me, to guide us into the way that the Lord has laid out for our lives. Now when the Spirit of God would guide us, and we quench the Spirit of God, we prevent Him from filling our lives. A third condition for the filling of the Spirit is not mistrusting Him. We read in the Galatian epistle that we are to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is the exact opposite of walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh is trusting, is a Christian relying and trusting in himself for the energy to walk a Christian life. Walking in the Spirit is when I realize that I have no strength in myself, and without any reservation, I trust, I rest upon the power and energy of the Holy Spirit of God, and I look to Him to energize my life, to empower my life, to live as God would have me live. Now we could go into these truths more deeply, but very briefly, you and I will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God when we are not grieving the Spirit by unconfessed sin allowed in our lives. When we are not quenching the Spirit by refusing to acknowledge and go according to His leading. And when we are not mistrusting the Spirit of God, but relying wholeheartedly with complete dependence upon Him to energize us in the life of Christian faith. We're trusting the Spirit of God to energize us for that life. Now, I think we should note that a person who is filled with the Spirit is the last person who will go around telling others he is. Somebody comes along to me and says, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I immediately know that he's not. This isn't something that a person is going to say, well, I'm on a different level than you are. You're down here and I'm up here. You haven't been filled with the Spirit, but I have been. Now you can be well assured that if a person comes along and tells you that they have been filled with the Spirit of God, you may be assured that they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. How can we recognize a person who is filled with the Spirit? Well, there are the marks of a Spirit-filled man in the portion of Scripture we read together this afternoon. And we'll touch on these very briefly before I sit down. First of all, as to his walk, we read in verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The Spirit-filled man will walk wise. How often we have walked unwise. David behaved himself wisely. He behaved himself more wisely. Now often we who are the people of God, we have manifested that we are not filled with the Spirit of God simply because of the way we have walked before our fellow believers and before the world. Secondly, as to His work, we read in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The Spirit-filled Christian will have a recognition of the times in which we live. That the coming of the Lord is very, very near. That there's but a short time we must occupy till He comes. And the Spirit-filled Christian will be redeeming the time. I wonder, do we redeem the time? Are we using our time for God as God intended us to use it? Or are we using our time for ourselves? As to His wisdom, we read in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Isn't it nice to meet a child of God who has an understanding of the will of God? There are certain brethren to whom we can go when we have a problem, when we have a difficulty. We go to them and they take the Word of God, and from the Word of God they show us the mind and will of God. They have an understanding as to what the will of the Lord is. Now the Spirit-filled believer will know the mind and will of God. Fourthly, as to His will, we read in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The person who is filled with the Spirit will not be carried away. He will not be intemperate. He'll have his will under the control of the Word of God and under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. As to his worship, in verse 19, there will be joy. We read, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not only will there be joy, but there will be thankfulness. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These two things in worship, joy, the joy and appreciation of the person of Christ, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I don't think we're as happy Christians as we should be, are we? Do we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord? No, we don't have to open our mouth. It's in the heart. Sometimes we sing from here up. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt in all my pride. We sing. The Lord looks on the heart. And we, I'm afraid, express in our singing, in the beautiful hymns we have in our hymn book, we express truths, and actually they just come out of our mouths. They don't affect our hearts. Singing and making melody in your heart. Because God doesn't just listen to the words. God listens to the heart. I wonder, do our hearts sing? Have you ever felt your heart sing? On Lord's Day morning, as you sat and remembered the Lord Jesus, and the preciousness of His person has gripped your soul, and you felt, oh Lord, I just can't hold any more, and the heart has sung. Oh, it's just, there's been a swelling. The Lord listens and He hears the melody in the heart. Thankfulness, giving thanks always for all things, not for some things. Oh, we can thank the Lord for the good things, but what about the trial? What about the difficulty? We're to thank Him for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's to be joy and there's to be thankfulness in our praise and in our worship. Then as to His way, the Spirit-filled man is to be marked by a humble consideration of others. Verse 21, we read, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A brother who is spirit-filled will never be found walking roughshod over the conscience and exercise of another brother. Submitting yourselves one to another in a fear of God. Oh, this is a great truth, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Young believer, it is one of the most important truths in the book of God for you. In the measure that you are filled with the Spirit of God, only in that measure will your life be for God, for the glory of God, in the days that lie ahead. And of course it applies to each and every one. May God speak to our hearts. May God exercise. Let us not look for some sort of an experience. That's like following it'll be a disappointment. Following a trail that has no end. It'll lead you, my friend, into all sorts of difficulties and problems. Perhaps eventually lead you away to God. I'm convinced of this. There are many children of God who are in a backslidden condition today and away from God, simply because they were led astray after the filling of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, he must not be grieved by sin. He must not be quenched by disobedience to his leading. He must not be mistrusted. We must look to him to energize us for the life which God has laid before us in the Word of God. When these three conditions are fulfilled, then the Spirit of God will fill us as a people of God. The Word says, be